Welcome back, guys, to, well, the last episode of this series that we're in, doing Philippians 4. Guys, can you believe we're...
I know. Do you reckon we could just, like, write a number 5 so we can do another podcast?
I reckon that's heresy. Yeah. But okay. You know what? You have that. You have that moment. But yeah, I'm Zenya, and I am joined with...
Michelle.
And...
Izzy Melvin. Sorry, I'm in a bit of a mood. Hello, here we go. I'm Jesse.
Yeah, that is Jesse. And today we are going to be looking at the final book in Philippians 4. If you haven't seen the other episodes, I would highly suggest that you listen or watch on YouTube, because we broke some things down. It was really good. And I think we should just kick off with going to the streets and seeing what the public think.
Let's go.
How do you find peace?
It's literally just through prayer, like nothing else. I mean, sometimes other things help, like talking to friends who are like of like the same spirit and of the same mindset. And just knowing that people are going through what you're going through as well, like people in the faith, and they've been there and they can help you and talk you through situations, pray for you, and that's literally it.
Sometimes just being alone with your thoughts, because I feel like we're in such like a loud world, so like when you're like away from it and kind of like a bit more zen, you can kind of reflect. I think kind of being alone, having the whole kind of like self-reflection-y kind of like vibe, that's what kind of...
Yeah, I think it's really important to just be in touch with your own feelings, and we all have down times and overwhelming times, and it's a complicated word, so I feel like to just be off socials and just take time within yourself to see how you feel and if anything is like hurting you, just be in touch with yourself and like talk to yourself like your own best friend. So I like to meditate to be like, okay, how do I feel right now? And yeah, then it just brings me peace instantly.
For me, peace is my quiet place with Jesus. That can look different for everyone. Being in silence. Silence is such a powerful thing, because it's something that the world does not have. Like, that you can't go anywhere and you can just hear silence, like pure silence. So it's in my room, it's anywhere really when God wants to speak to me, but mostly it's in my room in my bed. I'm just sitting there, not even speaking to him, I'm just inviting his presence in. That is where I find peace, where my heart gets to kind of go to a steady rate, and where I can hear him the most, because his voice is a still small voice. And if I'm loud and doing all this stuff, then there's no way I can hear from him. So I have to also calm myself down and able to hear him and hear what he has to tell me. There's so many things he has to tell me. I know that, but yeah.
Peace for me is when I'm not thinking about my troubles, my worries, all the things like my responsibilities. So like when I'm with my friends, I'm not thinking about that. I'm just thinking about all the fun we're having, what we're talking about, all the gossip, all of that stuff. So for me, it's my friends.
I mean, I try to go back to God first. I think before anything, if I try and do anything in terms of like going to the gym or doing anything like that, because I think that's where the ultimate peace comes from. So I try and start there in terms of prayer and, I don't know, reading the word and stuff like that. And then after that, in addition, then for me, like going to the gym, doing things that are like physical, like really help me get to that point of peace as well.
For me, I tend to distract myself from my problems and not really face it. But sometimes I need that second of peace with friends to help me gather my thoughts and think about how to like move forward and solve that problem, like the root of the problem. So definitely friends.
I find peace when I like just go back to who I think I am, like despite everything that's going on, or like anything that comes my way, like storms, literally life happening, just going back to like who am I and like why am I here, what's my purpose, and then it always just makes everything seem like, actually, do you know what, in the grand scheme of things, it's gonna be okay. If that makes sense. Yeah, so that's, I feel like that's how I find peace.
Wow, what a powerful time of On the Streets. Wasn't that great?
It's been great to hear what the public think. Learn about humility. Yeah, I mean, other topics.
That's a whole other episode.
That was.
I was going to
list them all, but I just forgot.
It's an Easter egg. Go back to episode 2 to find out what she's talking about.
Exactly.
Guys, should we read through this chapter, or at least a part of it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Shelley, could you go from 1 to 4?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, wait, actually, we need to address the Bible situation. I'm reading NIV. What are you reading?
NLT.
NLT.
We're all on different translations again.
Yeah.
All right.
So, whatever Bible you have, read it. Closing appeal for steadfastness and unity. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord this way, dear friends. I plead with you, dear, and I plead with Sinchi to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the Book of Life. The context behind that is basically these two or three women who were companions of Paul had like a disagreement, right?
Mm.
And like, yeah, they're basically, Paul is just basically saying like, help these guys see one, wait, what does it say that? To be of the same mind in the Lord, like, I think that, I think that's so relevant for even us, like when like friends can disagree and like we can like, I don't know, friendships can be just like broken off. But then Paul here is like encouraging them, being like, be of one mind with Christ. Like we are one body. We are friends. We're meant to love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what 1 to 4, 1 to 3 Dude, says.
Representing the woman of the Bible.
Cool.
This is so fun.
I think it's great. I think also... Wow.
That was spectacular.
That was crazy, Michelle. If you're listening, don't even watch what she just did. It's okay. But I was going to say about how the Book of Philippians is written to a community of people that are facing a lot of disunity.
Mm.
And Paul speaking to female or women leaders in the church, and he's telling them to get kind of get your act together, guys, because if you're if there's no unity amongst you, then how much more will there be unity amongst the people that you're leading?
That's right.
And I think as leaders, we have a responsibility to almost like set that standard, which kind of links to what we talked about last episode of Philippians 3, but setting the example so that people can imitate Christ through us as we, like imitate me as I imitate Christ, what Paul says. But yeah, as leaders, like if we're causing disunity, then the people that we're leading are going to feel that as well.
And like God does say, I mean, it says in the Bible, like where there is unity, God commands a blessing. So when like all of us work together, body of Christ, there's a beautiful blessing that's put upon us. So
have great. You guys ever gotten in a disagreement?
Yeah.
And then
Jesse.
What? Shelley, we talked about this. But then seeing the Lord like actually create deeper friendship. Have you got an example?
I think Jesse should give us an example, Jevon.
Me? You can't just bat it back. Oh, maybe you can.
You know,
well, I just did.
Ooh. Have I ever had conflict with someone? Yes. And I've definitely had conflict where I've spoken like quite rash or like quickly without really thinking, which actually generally causes, I don't know, kind of more tension. The joy about conflict is it's like meant to draw us into deeper relationship. Conflict's like an invitation. Oh, we've got this disunity. Let's hash it out so we can go closer. And so when you hash it out on a whim or not intentionally, sometimes it can cause more hurt. But we read in the next verse, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, because the Lord is at hand. And another way reasonableness can be translated into gentleness. And so like in the context of conflict, we're to be gentle and be reasonable and let that be known to everyone. So how do we deal with conflict? Well, we be gentle and we love. I didn't tell a personal story, but I don't know. I've had it in times where I've failed, but that's kind of what I try aim for when I bring things up. And I always pray, Lord, am I meant to say this? And sometimes he just says no, and I go, really? Because it'll back my point. And then he's like, no. And I go, okay, fine.
Yeah, that's so true. I remember when, I'll actually tell a little story. So it's actually one of my best friends. Just like growing in friendship, getting to know each other. And like a situation happened in the group where like, I don't know, stuff was kind of said. And I didn't know whether it was true or not. Kept it to myself. I didn't want to tell anyone. And then later on, the situation came up on my shoulders again. But it was brought up in the context of this best friend and I, and I didn't know what to do. Like, I was like, what should I do? Like, it was kind of heated. Like, should I confront it? Like, should I say, oh my gosh, no, but this isn't the case. Da, 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 da. But really, I felt the Lord say, like, just be kind. Like, you two are growing in friendship. Like, now you're learning how she reacts and responds to things and how she'd like you to love and care for her in a situation like that. And now you, and now she knows that about you. So that's kind of like a let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near moment, where I chose to be kind and not.
Was that when I went around telling people that you were 35?
So random. The silence.
Oh, we do have a laugh.
Have a little laugh.
We do have a laugh.
I do love what you said, though. I love that you said about how God told you to almost let it go, and to like trust the process. Mm. And with what Jesse was saying about that verse that talks about letting your gentleness be known to all, the Greek word for gentleness translates to like an unyielding and being patient, and I guess just a general sense of letting go. And I think in conflict, sometimes it's because we want to hold on to things, that like we want to hold on to our status or hold on to, no, I'm right and my point is correct. But actually there is beauty in letting go. And actually, I don't want to say letting go and letting God, because that sounds a bit cringy, but there is truth to it, like letting go and letting God come in and heal those wounds and heal those divisions and heal those relationships, which I think the Church of Philippi definitely needed.
And what's cool is we then get the second part to the promise. Like, we're dealing with conflict, and the next thing that God says, or Paul writes, and God says through Paul, is, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Like, within conflict, Paul's like, so right. It's easy to get so anxious, isn't it? It's easy to like feel these anxieties and this weight about everything. And his encouragement is just a prayer. Like, I am so convicted at the moment about my prayer life. When I pray, things happen. At like, why does that not stir me always to pray more?
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, in conflict, he's talking about this, but this could be for everything. In everything, like through prayer and supplication, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When we deal with things, we can bring it to him. And how does he respond? With the peace of God, which doesn't make sense. It surpasses all understanding. And he'll guard our hearts and our minds. I feel like guarding our heart and our mind is so underrated. Facts. That's where like everything happens, in the heart and the mind. So imagine like a little protector Jesus covering me in that. I don't know, it's just a really nice picture. A
little shield.
Like, I'm tender. I got a little heart issue every now and then. My mind feels a bit hurt sometimes, but like, I got a little warrior Jesus covering me.
Oh, come on.
You know what I'm talking about?
I love that. And I also think, going back to the prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, prayer being talking to God, supplication being asking God and like making your requests known to him. Because like, some people might be like, oh, I feel a bit awkward asking God for something. God wants you to go to him with what you want. He wants you to speak to him about your desires. But then within that, there's also the thanksgiving. And with all that together, then the peace of God is given. And I'm really hung up on the thanksgiving part, because I think a lot of us are so quick to go to God with our requests. God, can you do this? Can you show up? Without also thanking him for what he's already done. And I remember this quote that I heard once, and it was, if God never does anything else for you again, then you can still thank him. You can still thank him for what he's done before. And the fact that like God is good irrespective of if he grants your wishes or if he grants your desires, but you can still thank him for who he is and how he shows up. And I think sometimes we're just not thankful enough. Like, we're not thankful enough for what God does and the fact that like he loves us in that simplicity.
Yeah. And I think back in Psalms 100, I think verse 4 or 5, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Like, that completely like kind of changes your heart posture from looking at the problem and the issue that you're going through to then focusing your mind and your attention on what he's already done, who he is, his faithfulness. And like, coming with thanksgiving and praise, thanking him for what he's done, but then recognizing who he is and then being like, God, I actually need your help in this situation. Like, I find that so powerful. Like, even like now, I have to like constantly remind myself when I'm like feeling anxious or like worrying about a situation or like a circumstance that's going on in my life. Like, I need to remind myself, like, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Yeah. Like, God wants to listen. God, like, cares about what you have to say, even if he already knows what you're going to say. Yeah?
This is, like, super practical, but has really helped me over the past couple of years with my prayer life. Because what reading this, like, what you said to do, pray, right? And pray with thanksgiving. And sometimes our prayers don't look like that. And that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But also sometimes I come to God and I don't really know how to pray, like, or what to do, what to say. And something that's really helped me is looking at the Lord's Prayer as like themes that sometimes I'll literally just go through them as themes in the morning, starting with Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, which is thanksgiving. It's like praise unto God, your kingdom come, your will be done. And like start praying for God's will to start coming for the day. Pray, it's all in your hands. Like, give us this day our daily bread. You know, oh, Lord, will you provide for me today? That's the third thing you go to. It's not the first thing, but it's the third. I mean, you can do it as the first, you know, but thanksgiving, your will be done. Give us this daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses. Repentance comes fourth. That's backwards. That feels backwards sometimes. Sometimes we feel like we need to bring everything and only talk about repentance. Actually, he models it that the first thing we say is thanksgiving. Hallowed be your name. And then fifth is lead us not into temptation. And then back into for yours is the power and the glory. Thanksgiving again. And I think that's just a really practical model for anyone. If you're like figuring out what a prayer life looks like, going around that like five things in order for different scenarios in your life. Like, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. Will you provide this for me? That's just really helped me in the past.
That's so good. And I think also on another practical note, like writing down and jotting down when God has taken you through a season and you've seen his faithfulness and you've seen him do something that you've prayed for, and writing it down. And like when you're going through like a season of being anxious and not knowing like what's going on and like just like an uncertain season, you can always look back into that journal and like read those notes, be like, remind yourself of God's faithfulness and how he's shown up. Yeah, it's another practical note. But
mate, there's so much more to get into. Should we continue on?
Yeah.
Zen, do you want to read from verse 8 to 10?
Okay, I'm on it. It says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you."
I was reading literally earlier today, Psalm 103, where it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let us not forget what you have done." And I think that Paul's saying a similar thing, that we have a choice to remember and fix our eyes on good things. And, you know, this is just amazing. Like, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, commendable, any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's the translation I say. And I think this is like almost an encouragement. We talk a lot about the renewal of our mind, right? We read Romans 12. Oh, Lord, will you renew our mind? Will you renew our mind? I think one of the best ways to renew our mind is to take thoughts captive and intentionally think about good things.
That's great.
That's what's modeled throughout the Bible. This is what's modeled here. It's what's modeled in the Psalms. Let's remember the things, the faithfulness of God. Let's remember that he's forgiven us of sins. Remember the times in our life where we might have seen healing or seen financial breakthrough or seen freedom from this. If we fix our eyes on these pure, good things, I think it will shape us and it will change the way we view life. Instead of like approaching a situation like, oh, I wonder if God can do this, you think back to how he's a faithful God and you go, oh, I know my God's got this. Simple change, but can really like affect your life drastically. So that's renewing your minds through thought.
I love it.
Intentional thought.
Echoing what you said, Jesse, I think God really does care about what you focus on. I remember yesterday I was at my Bible study and we were talking about times where you feel conviction, which is basically like you know, that sinking feeling in your heart where you're like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this.
Mm.
And that I feel like, I don't know how to explain it in fully, but that's how I would describe it. And I remember a couple years ago, I was in a group of friends and these girls, like we've been friends for a while and we met up one summer and I just had this like deep sinking feeling to just not engage in the conversation because it literally felt like hours and hours of just straight gossip about people. And like the other girls, they weren't Christians, but I just felt so uncomfortable.
Mm.
And in my spirit, I just felt like this isn't like what Paul's saying here. Like, that's not true. That's not honorable. That's not right. That's not pure.
Mm.
And I think the reason why I felt that conviction was because God cares. Like, he doesn't want you to do things that doesn't honor him. And I think as well with the gossip thing, like talking about people does not honor God. And so I felt that. And so just practically as well, like if you feel that sense of conviction in your heart, in your stomach, I don't know, wherever you feel that feeling, where it's just like, oh, I shouldn't be looking at this, or, oh, I shouldn't be like indulging in this conversation, or, oh, this doesn't feel right, definitely lean in and listen to what God is saying, because he cares about what you focus on. Because those things, if you let them enter into your life and enter into your heart, it can corrupt you. Like, it will corrupt your spirit.
Mm.
Not to make it all dark and gloomy, but that's the reality of things. So yeah, I think God cares about what you focus on, and you should too.
That's so good then. And I think like particularly in like moments of conflict with friends, it's so easy to assume like the worst of someone because of this one thing that they've done.
Mm.
But really, like, you have to like actively fight to think the best of others. And like Paul like gets it. He really does. And he says like, think about such things, like whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, what is like admirable, noble and true. Like in times of conflict, all you can think of, like, your head, I feel like your mind can just get polluted of all of these things that this one person's like done in the past. And then like, because of this one thing that's triggered those feelings, you can like have a completely different perception of this person. But like actively fighting against that and choosing to love them and like see the best in them, see the gold in them and bringing that out, that's also going to soften your heart.
Yeah.
And keep your heart soft towards that person to then grow in a closer, intimate friendship. Should we read
that's
on?
That's epic. Should we? Oh. Yeah, we can read on.
I mean, no, unless you had a point. Do you have something to say?
No, I'm ready to read on. Do you want to read on?
Yeah, I can read on. Thanks for their gifts. Verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. Dang.
Keep going.
I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Dang!
Dang!
Full of truth, y'all.
Full of truth.
That is so hard. If you think about that to your own life right now, to be content in every and any situation, whenever well-fed or hungry. Guys. Who gets hangry when they're hungry?
Like, Joe.
Angry.
He's behind the camera.
He put the cameraman.
That is so real though.
He said it's true on the camera and
it's funny.
But like, how testing is that? No, dead ass.
Literally.
I know, man.
Oh boy,
I've seen you that food, Charles. You're crazy.
I will.
You're crazy.
She'll throw those hands.
Throw hands.
Guys, what is God speaking to you through this passage?
I need to learn how to be content in every situation, no matter what.
What's a situation you're currently not content in? Ooh.
Oh,
that is a heavy hitter.
Exposed. No. Go on, be real for the audience.
Being single.
Vulnerable. Oh.
Yeah. So vulnerable. That's true. Anyways.
No, that's great.
Yeah, that is one. But I'm like progressively learning how to be content in it. And I think I've gotten to that place where I'm really just enjoying the Lord and what he's doing in my life. But it's a real one. And I get how it is. Like, seeing other people, your friends around you, being in relationships, and you're like, God, what about me? Like, learning to be content in that, because Jesus is great, you know?
Hands up if you relate. Everyone put their hands up.
Yeah.
No, I think that's so real, Charles. So like, true. And like, it's really easy. This is what I think. I think when we're not content, we're easy to find temporary solutions or like long for something else to fill the need. Ooh. Which isn't correct.
Flames.
Like, I notice in myself where like sometimes I feel a bit lonely or like, oh, I'm single, what the heck? Because I've pretty much been single most of my life. We all have needs. Like, God kind of created us that way. And like, you see in the Garden of Eden, he created Adam and he was like, oh man, it's not good for man to be alone. So he created a companion. But one thing we just like have to be really careful of is where we're getting those needs met, because you can get them met in a very unhealthy way. And what that can do is like lead to pain and like hurt on other people. Like leading someone on because you want to feel loved by them, or like not being clear. That's an example. Like dating around because you're just trying to find someone because you want to feel loved. It's not bad to date around specifically if you really feel like you want to find a partner, but you know what I mean. But there are really healthy ways of getting those needs met, like deep friendship.
Yeah.
Like deep friendship is a really good thing. And it's like, God's blessed us with it.
I second that, Jesse. That's honestly so true. And like, if there's stuff and like relational needs that you feel like need to be met, like grow in friendship with your friends, like go deeper with each other and do life with each other and really be honest and get into the nitty-gritty. And like, and that's so okay to like go to your friends to get your needs met, because ultimately we are created in the image of God and we are relational beings. So it's normal.
Mm. Go back and listen to the relationship part for more.
Do it.
Ten, have you got anything on your little heart?
I do. My little heart says that my little heart says that Paul is writing to, as we said in Philippians 1, he's writing to the church of Philippi. And in particular, they sent this guy called Epaphroditus to give Paul like financial support. And Paul was really grateful for that. But I think it's interesting that he says that, not that I ever needed it. So in reference to the financial support that they sent, that financial offering to bless his ministry, he says, not that I ever needed it, for I have learned how to be content with what I have. But he starts off in verse 10 by saying that I praise the Lord that you were concerned about me. And I think for him here, there's two things. One is the fact that he's praising them for the fact that they were concerned about him, which led them to give. And I think Paul is actually encouraging us to be givers, and giving is a biblical attribute. It is good. Like Jesus says that it's good to give. And if you are in a position to, and you have the opportunity to bless somebody and to give, then go and do that, because you're partnering with the gospel and you're also being a doer of the word, not just a hearer. I think that's the scripture. We're not just hearers of the word, doers of the word. So that was the first thing that I wanted to say. And the second thing was that I think Paul was not reliant on or expecting people to help him, because he was already content in God. And I think for us, like, I'm trying to be careful how I phrase it, but I genuinely do believe this. Like, I think in life, our number one source is God. I think God is our ultimate help and we should go to him first. Like in Matthew 6, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness and everything else will be added. So I feel like in life, whenever we're going through times of wanting or times of struggle, times of where we need something, the first call is to call on the Lord. Like he will deliver, he will be faithful and he will answer. And I think sometimes we can end up running to people rather than running to God first. There's nothing wrong with running to people, but where is God in that order, in that priority? And remember to keep him first. And I think Paul does an excellent model of that. He was content in all circumstances because he relied on God. And God came through by sending the people of Philippi to give him financial aid. So
100%.
Yeah, I think it's just the priority. Like, where are you going to first? Are you going to man or are you going to God when you're in times of need?
Yeah.
I mean, you already touched on it about how the church of Philippi were almost giving a gift to Paul. I mean, we read it in the first chapter of Philippians, but that's kind of what the next part's about. It's about the gift. I'm just going to read it quick and then we can kind of come to a close, unless there's any other points on Christ who strengthens. Any other points? No, great.
But that he does,
but that he does, yes. Come on. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Wow, Paul had his needs met. Anyway, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit.
Wow.
I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus, the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. And then the final bits. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with you greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Guys, I have 2 points. I'm so sorry. So it's not really final.
Take 2 points. No, it's fine. I'm so sorry. That's still final.
In verse 17, he says, I don't say this because I want a gift from you, but rather I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. And like when we do good things and when we partake in the gospel, it's because we will receive a gift for our kindness. We will receive from God when we do good things. And for Paul, I think it's so selfless for him to say, like, I wanted you to give to me, but not for my benefit, but for your benefit. That's crazy. Because I feel like in our world, in society, it's like give to get. Like if you do this, you get something. We live in a very transactional world. But for Paul, like there was no transaction involved. He was like, give to me, but you're receiving the benefit, not even me. Which I think is so countercultural. And the second thing was in verse 18, where he said that their sacrifice was a sweet smelling fragrance and it was acceptable and pleasing to God. And it kind of mirrors like Old Testament language of like in the Old Covenant, how they used to sacrifice animals to God. And that would be like a sweet offering to the Lord that would allow them to have their sins forgiven until they had to, you know, sacrifice again and again and again because we're not perfect people. But I think it's the point of when you give, it comes out of a place of sacrifice. And for the church of Philippi, for even them sending Epaphroditus, like in chapter 2, it said that he almost died on his way to see Paul. Like that is a sacrifice. My guy sacrificed his life. But in saying that, God honors sacrifice and he will reward you for it. And when Paul says it's a sweet smelling sacrifice and a sweet aroma to God, like when you give, if you give from a place that's really difficult and it's really hard to part with what you're giving to the Lord, it's a sweet sacrifice for him and he will honor that. And that's to encourage all of us, you know, as Christians, it is hard. It's hard to lay down your desires. It's hard to lay down your wants. But God sees the struggle and he will reward you for it.
That's so good. I remember there was a moment where I felt like there was just something that I don't know. There was a situation in my life that I felt was really costly. And I was like, God, this just feels horrible, but I know it's so good. I remember God just kind of like reminding me and kind of telling me like, what is costly is precious and he sees it and he loves it. And like, I was just kind of thinking, just glancing over the whole chapter 4 and like, Paul has said rejoice like a good couple times in this.
Yeah.
And there's a theme of like rejoicing and like in no matter what the circumstance, just being joyful and being full of joy. And that Paul isn't like saying like this optimistic, like always like happy clappy, that type of joy, jumping around, that type of thing. But he's actually talking about this joy that comes from a place of knowing that God is steadfast and he's faithful throughout what, like no matter what. Like his confidence is in that God is in control and that's where his joy is coming from. And I think that's something that we could also draw from in our own lives. Like we don't have to be all this like happy clappy all the time. But like joy comes from a deep place of knowing that God's in control.
Yeah.
I think it's a choice as well, right?
Yeah.
To rejoice. A choice to rejoice.
Come on. Boss. And, stick that on a jumper.
Yeah, literally. But the another like thing I found cool was obviously talking about fragrant offering, and that how a fragrant offering is like a sacrifice which is acceptable and pleasing to God. Often, like fragrance or incense is also referred to the saints' prayers, so like Christians' prayers as well. Oh. And like our prayers are a sacrifice pleasing and acceptable to God. Mm. And I know we kind of talked about prayer in the middle, and that's just like a more of an encouragement, like let's be praying people.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, like God loves it when we pray to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other points? Feeling clicked? Well, guys, in that case, thank you so much for watching our final episode on Philippians. We hope you enjoyed the series. Did you guys enjoy the series?
It was so good.
It was great, wasn't it?
So good.
It was a lot of fun. Do subscribe or follow us next week. We've got some more exciting content coming soon. So thank you for joining and see you soon.
Bye.